Have your sports curiosity cured.
Eric Stahl shunted it on. Taken by Stillman. Nudges it across. It's deflected over.
Veteran of the sports reporting game for over 25 years.
Segura being followed every step there by Sorensen. Gets it back, Darnay back into the corner. Little saucer by Darnay! Scores!
Breaking down Edmonton's favorite teams.
5 minutes into overtime in game five. And McDavid scores! Game winner! Series winner!
Sports Radio is back in the Edmonton area. This is Sports 1440 and the Kevin Karius Show.
For Saul, 158, April the 22nd. How jacked is this city for tonight? Buckle in for the third straight year. Round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs, Oilers and the LA Kings. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Kevin Karius Show on Sports 1440 on your morning drive on the AM radio dial. We are going to be humming today. We've got you streaming on iHeartRadio, the TuneIn app. It's on sports1440.ca. And if you miss any part of the show, you can catch up by searching the Kevin Karius Show on Apple Podcasts. It is on Spotify, on Google, and on Amazon. Be sure to subscribe, select the old auto download, and you will never miss a second of the show. Well, you can feel it building. You can feel it building in the city after a weekend where, you know, games across the country in our great country. You saw what was going on in Winnipeg yesterday with the whiteout, and then last night in Vancouver when the Canucks are coming out to U2, and now we're going to see it tonight. And I'll be honest, Duke, I'm so impressed with that intro. If that doesn't give you some goosebumps, just to go back in the history of what you put together there. For one, okay, the David Desharnais goal on Saturday night, that was 7 years ago to the day when Desharnais scored against San Jose in overtime. Luckily, I was in Ford Hall at the time doing a live hit on Global News at 11, approximately 11:15. So we were in Ford Hall with, I would say, I don't know, at least 1,000 fans that were just jammed in there, maybe more. Everyone watching on the big screen in Ford Hall. So there's a delay from the building by the time you see the video. And the goal goes in, Desharnais scores, his only playoff goal. Gives the Oilers a win against the Sharks. Well, I don't know if you've ever been to a rock concert or whatever, and the floor starts moving. The floor was heaving up and down in Ford Hall. If anyone listening was at Ford Hall that night, 7 years ago in 2 days, send us in a text if you remember that, because it was crazy. It felt like you were moving up and down. Honestly, it felt like sometimes you might end up going through the floor and ended up on 104th Avenue. That's how nutso it was. And it's going to be just as crazy tonight. I mean, then the other one, you got Doc Emrick doing the call of Fernando Pisani in 2006, scoring the shorthanded goal in Carolina in game five to send the series back to Edmonton. And I mean, we have a chance, I think, to get Doc Emrick on the show this week. I'm going to send him a text and an email today. And to get him to talk about that from, you know, 17, 18 years ago, oh, man, that's going to be outstanding. So, man, I'm out of breath already, Duke. I'm just so excited about today and what's going to happen tonight. Big story yesterday regarding the Oilers, Evander Kane coming out and saying that he has a sports hernia. By the way, Grant Fedoruk from Leading Edge Physio will be with Jason Greger this afternoon, I believe 2:45, to discuss what exactly is a sports hernia, the levels of it, because there's so many levels of a sports hernia, and how can he move forward with this. Now, the thing with Evander Kane, he hasn't played for a number of games. He's been out a long time. So, not a long time, but enough where there's concern. The difference here is that Dylan Holloway has been outstanding down the stretch. So it makes you feel there is someone that can go into there. And make no mistake, this is an opportunity that Dylan Holloway, if he grasps this moving forward, you could be looking at something very, very special here. He has found chemistry on that third line moving forward down the stretch. He has been he's been there and in like he's got involved in the play. He's first of all, he's contributed offensively. So he's had when he's had the chance to put the puck in the net, he has. But he's done things defensively. He's been aware around the puck in the defensive zone. He's been responsible in F3 coverage or F2 coverage in the offensive zone. He's not just going in and going wild and bowling guys over and, you know, playing like a bull in the China shop. He is being responsible. He's found the chemistry with Corey Perry and Cloudy. So Ryan McLeod. So he has found that. And we'll see what happens with the lines tonight. But, you know, with at practice yesterday, Connor McDavid, Adam Henrique, Zach Hyman. We know that. Nugent Hopkins, Draisaitl, Fogel. Know that. Now, here's where it comes into a little stickier situation. If you think that it's going to be, Holloway, McLeod, and Perry, pretty good chance, I would say. Very good chance. Now you figure out what's going to happen on the fourth line. Is Evander Kane, can he play? Will he play? Does he play on the fourth line? Matthias Janmark as well. Who's the odd man out? Is it Connor Brown? Sam Carrick looked to be center, you know what, on the fourth line. He has the ability to be a little bit bigger, a little bit more physical. Derek Ryan is obviously more than capable. So there are some amazing storylines moving forward. You know, every home team won in the first six games of the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's, you know, obviously the Oilers would like to keep that going tonight. As for the LA Kings, don't count. I mean, everyone is saying that this is a tilted series. We saw last night. And we'll get to that in a second. We saw last night how close that everything is going to be in the West and in a lot of the series. I think you would be safe to say that, the Islanders and Caps are up against it. Not exactly a close matchup in those series. But what did we see with Nashville and Vancouver? Nashville was, full marks to the Predators. They were that close to beating Vancouver last night. 2 goals in 12 seconds. Franchise record in the playoffs. Canucks were down 2-1. Nashville coughs up 2 goals, 12 seconds. Empty netter, 4-2 the final. Dakota Joshua, unbelievable game. 2 goals, 1 assist. And the 2 goals in 12 seconds bury the Predators. What did you think of the Colorado-Winnipeg game? Wow, 7-6. Jets 5-on-5 outscored the Avs 6-3. Adam Lowry was dominant yesterday. But if you were to say, we're going to get 6 goals on Connor Hellebuck, I'll take the chances, wouldn't you? You'd say, let's take it. Let's take it. But when Georgiev and the defense, not just on Georgiev, cough up 7, you're not going to win too many games. That was like 1982 Oilers-Kings playoffs. Also, Florida edges Tampa Bay 3-2, and the Rangers a 4-1 win over Washington. Hey, how about the former local product, Matt Rempe, with a goal blocked out on another goal with a little bit of a pick? I mean, this guy, we were talking earlier, will he play in the playoffs? Well, he was one of the deciding factors for the Rangers yesterday. Let's welcome in the Duke of Delburn. Good morning, Duke. How was the weekend and how fired up are you for tonight?
Yeah, playoffs roll on. It was a good first couple days over the weekend. I was back home at the farm as of about midday Saturday following the Saturday sports setup that Connor Donovan and I indulged in this weekend. So I'll be honest, I didn't watch any of the games this weekend in their entirety, mm-hmm. save Nashville and Vancouver last night because of the later start when I got back to the city. I kind of took it as like almost easing myself in because I know how the next couple months are going to be, and hopefully the Oilers being a big part of that for the foreseeable future and a bit of a breakneck schedule for us mm-hmm. here covering the entirety of the playoffs. So I was back at the farm, saw the family and whatnot, but the start of the Hurricanes Islanders, I watched about the first half of that one, first period or so of Bruins Leafs, and then yesterday kind of catching mm-hmm. pieces of stuff throughout the day, including watching the first period of Canuck or Avalanche and Jets, and then listening to the rest of it on my drive back to the city. That was a pretty crazy hockey game, and like you said, a bit of a throwback one with the final score totaling in 13 goals.
You know, kudos again on that intro. So you had Fernando Pisani's Game 5 2006 shorthanded overtime winner. Then the David Desharnais goal in overtime 7 years ago and 2 days now. It was Saturday night. And then the Connor McDavid goal in Calgary. And I was on the, I forgot to mention that, I'm on the catwalk 10 feet away from the Oilers brass up there when they beat the Calgary Flames and Connor scored in overtime. Well, I mean, you had, again, you had Kenny Holland, Bill Scott, Dustin Schwartz. You had probably David Pelche, probably four other guys up there, maybe eight of them, you know, sitting beside each other. Well, they were jumping up and down and hugging each other like, you wouldn't
giddy like, little kids,
just,
right?
It's like you see some kids win the Little League World Series, you know, and they were so happy. And then, you know, the I think people remember when everyone went down underneath, you saw everyone, there was the camera in there and Connor came down the hallway and you had all the guys just jumping up and down. You know, when you don't know you're on camera, you're just yourself, right?
Yeah, there. I mean, it's funny. We've seen Connor McDavid is not a particularly emotional guy, right? He's quite level-headed and keeps things pretty close to the vest, both from a personal and professional perspective. Yeah. But there have been moments over the course of his career, especially in the past few seasons, where we have seen that kind of breakthrough on the ice in moments of euphoria. And that goal, the one to go up 2-0 over the Kings, I don't know if it was 2 seasons ago or last year, forgive my memory, but kind of, you know, the big celebration heading back to center ice to kind of lock that one down in the third period. There's a few things where we see it. And like I said, hopefully we see a lot more of it here this spring, because the Oilers are poised, I should say, for a good run. And I would echo what you said, Kevin, not to underestimate these Los Angeles Kings. But with that being said, I think the matchup favors the Oilers. And I think they should be able to take care of business here in round one, and then it'll only get tougher from there. So got to start here with game one tonight.
Well, and again, the Oilers have had trouble with game one on home ice.
Yes.
And
big time.
We did say that, yeah, the first six games, all six home teams won, which sometimes, I mean, that's a lot so far, six for six. I mean, normally you're going to see a couple, and hopefully you don't see it here tonight. But again, the Kings have a very well-structured team. They, I can't say this enough, they don't do the 1-3-1 all the time. They don't. And you know what? If you go back to those two games yesterday, watch how often both Nashville and Winnipeg, to an extent, more Nashville, and then in the Colorado and Winnipeg series, I mean, Colorado forced. They forced. And in the first period, Colorado was by far the better team, because they forced guys. They forced the defense to get out from behind the net, to try to make a play when everything isn't set. Do not be surprised if you see the LA Kings implement a lot more of a forceful attitude, a forceful forecheck, being on the puck quicker, not laying back. Do not be surprised if you see that a lot more of the time. And it's not going to happen right away in the first period. It might not happen at all times, but more than you think. Man, we got a jam-packed show for you today. Get your text in for one thing. 1-833-401-1440. How excited are you for game number one tonight? Send us off. Send us off a text. We'll check in with those as the show progresses. Alan Mitchell, the lowdown at 12 o'clock, will be with us here. You hear him every day, 12 till 2. He'll be with us right after the break at 7:20. On Saturday, I did a one-on-one with Warren Fogle after Oilers practice, and it was at the Downtown Community Arena. So that'll happen at 7:40, a one-on-one with Warren Fogle. Mark Spector will be with us in studio, our co-host every Monday from 8 to 10, and longtime colleague of Spec, Scott Burnside. Burnside on hockey. He's here in town and is covering this series. So that'll be exciting to see Burnside down at the rink later today. At 9 o'clock, Ben Scrivens, the former Edmonton Oiler, former NHLer, will guest with us. And then we've got Daryl Evans, LA Kings analyst, at 9:20. 10 o'clock, Laurie Ann Munzer, Olympic gold medalist, will elevate your game. And also, at 10:40. I bumped into, not Lane Brown, but I bumped into one of his drivers. And maybe you've seen this big 18-wheel. Well, it's not an 18-wheeler because they got the, they're not hauling. He's not a heavy hauler. They just got the, they got the beaver tail going. Some old truckers called it the bobtail. So just the big rig going, but it's painted bright orange and blue. They're playing La Bamba. They're driving it all over town. It'll be down at the rink. Lane Brown will be with us. Now, I talked to him on the phone on Friday, I think, Duke. And I said, so what are you doing with this thing? You know, and he said, well, I'll have her down there Monday. But after that, this baby's got to get to work and start making us some money. So that'll be funny. We'll have Lane Brown on at 10:40. When we come back at 7:20, it'll be Alan Mitchell. And we will dissect and break down the game one of the Oilers and Kings right after the break. Stay with us. All right. Welcome back to the big program. That song can mean only one thing. Time for the Puck Report, brought to you by Fountain Tire. Right now at Fountain Tire, being on the road together means getting a great deal on tires. Save up to 25% on select tires, including Goodyear. And that goes all the way at the end of the month of April. Ah, well, let's welcome in Alan Mitchell, the Lowdown with Low Tide, every day here, 12 o'clock to 2. Good morning, Al. How jacked up are you for game number one tonight?
Well, it's going to be a great one. A couple of years ago, the first game one against LA wasn't so good. Last year, better. I think that, this is going to be a lot of fun. And watching both Winnipeg and Vancouver win last night was, you know, it kind of got the juice flowing. I'll be honest, you know, you the season is long, and you're like, okay, now the playoffs. But once they dropped the puck and I watched what was a wild game in Winnipeg, I just was like, I immediately in anticipation mode for tonight's game.
Well, you mentioned the first game last year. The Kings ended up winning 4-3 in overtime. The Oilers came back to even the series at Rogers before L.A., you know, took a 2-1 lead in game number three, but then the Oilers reeled off three straight wins. I'm assuming you expect another very tight series in this one.
Yeah, I think, you know, the Kings are in a period of transition. So the storylines I'll be looking for are the young players. They've got some really good young and strong and talented players. And that is a little wrinkle that maybe wasn't even there a year ago. And then the other side of it is, I think from the goaltending point of view, the Kings are entering this series second best, and that's not always been the case between these two teams. So those two things will play out. There's obviously the Evander Kane injury, but my guess is this series is a little less difficult for Edmonton this year. We'll see.
So, Evander Kane with the sports hernia, we'll learn more about that as the day goes on. And Dylan Holloway now on that third line with Ryan McLeod and Corey Perry. What a wonderful opportunity for a young player that could make massive strides with a big, big performance. He's starting tonight in game number one.
It's huge, and it's also huge that Ryan McLeod is being trusted to carry a line, you know, an important one, a third line. Mm-hmm. He's really blossomed as a two-way player. Holloway gives them, you know, Holloway's not a shy violet. He's a young player, but he is a physical player. He can get in and win battles. And of course, Corey Perry will do anything to win. So that trio is going to be important. And I'm interested in seeing both McLeod and Holloway have the kind of speed that will back up defensemen. And once they're in the zone, Perry can do, like, he can really do magic. He's a, you know, he's old as the hills and twice as dusty, but he's really a great player inside the offensive zone.
So Corey Perry will, you know, unless something crazy happens here, will crack 200 career playoff games. That's 22nd all time. Right now he's at 196. He has offered a calmness, and also when you say the word calmness, he also pushes the level and gets everybody into the game all in the same breath. How much of a factor do you think he'll be here in the playoffs?
Well, I think it'll be a major factor because the Oilers, you know, often ease into games and are often the second most physical team on the ice early in games. But Perry's the kind of player who will, you know, there's a way that players like Corey Perry, they sort of make a run or make a physical play early in the game, and it ratchets up the game and gets the attention going. But he's more likely to be the instigator. I don't mean taking an instigator penalty. I mean, he's more likely to instigate the physicality, and then, you know, the entire game switches and everybody's more engaged. I think he's the guy who will not allow the Otis to be sleepy tonight.
Yeah. You know, in the last two playoff series, as we're with Alan Mitchell, it's kind of odd in the sense that, you know, the Oilers won in 7 2 years ago, won in 6 last year. But in those 13 games, the home team only won 6 times. What does that tell you?
Well, I think they're both teams were, I'll put it this way. I think the Oilers were on their way in both of those years to the team they are now. The goaltending was not certain in both years in different ways. It's more certain now. I think that Los Angeles had more certain goaltending, less certain for them now. And the Kings are now the team that has some young players who are, you know, Ken Holland has constructed a roster where very few young players, you know, Skinner's in his second year. Certainly Evan Bouchard is now established. Ryan McLeod is established. Ken Holloway would be the one young player. But, you know, Byfield, other Kings are young and unproven. So those elements I'm looking for, like sometimes, you know, this series could end up, Kevin, being the Los Angeles Kings youth emerges. And that's a storyline that could happen. Also, it's possible that the Oilers' goaltending is clearly superior, and that becomes a storyline. But this is not an easy out. I think it's the easier out of the two between Vegas and L.A. That Edmonton could have faced. But this is going to be a series. You know, Drew Doughty is a physical guy, and Mikey Anderson's a nasty bit of business. And I will say that if the Oilers do emerge, I expect them to, but if they do emerge, it'll be a physical series, and it will take a toll.
Oh, it's going to be a physical series. Yeah, Drew Doughty's a big game player. Every time there's a big one, he comes up and elevates his game. The one concern for me is it looks as if Carl Grundstrom's going to be healthy enough to play, and on a fourth line that will be as big and as tough and as rumble as you can get with Pierre-Luc Dubois and Quinton Byfield. If that's could be a fourth line matchup that the Oilers have to face. How much havoc can that fourth line wreak? And also, Alan, do you think that fourth line can play against one of the Oilers' top two lines?
Well, I think it's not the fourth line.
Well, you know,
I it's like Vegas, right? Remember Vegas? Everybody's talking about Vegas's fourth line. Well, it wasn't the fourth line. You know, they were playing, in terms of minutes played, they were playing more. And I do think that you'll see more that line more often than some of the other ones. The issue that the Kings have is that they, straight up skill, they're not going to win the series. So what do you do if you are a team that isn't as skilled as the other side and maybe doesn't have the goaltending edge? You have to muck it up. You have to make it really uncomfortable. So I expect that line to be playing a lot. I expect them to be forechecking, heavily punishing Evan Bouchard and the other defensemen who are trying to make a quick play to get the puck out of the zone. The race back to get the puck when Evan Bouchard is on the ice is going to be a major story in this. Mm-hmm. And I suspect we'll see a lot of times one of those big forwards barreling in on Bouchard. And even if he makes the play, they're going to punish him. He's going to have a very, very difficult time in this series.
What do you make of the play of Victor Arvidsson, and how much of a factor, and how much would the Oilers have to key on a guy who always seems to score big goals?
Well, that's it. And he's like, the only question you ever have about Arvidsson is his health. Is he okay? Is he 100%? And if he is, then he's one of the real going concerns. And it's easy to forget about him because, you know, depending upon the year, he has been, you know, not around at times. But when he's healthy and when he can play, he's high, high skill on a team that has enough of them to make you make a line match sometimes difficult, I guess, especially on the road. But even here in Edmonton, you know, they've got players, and he's one of them. And I think he's one of the most skilled guys on the team.
So have you noticed a massive change in the way the Kings play since Jim Hiller took over for Todd McClellan?
In all honesty, I think if whenever there's a coaching change, and I'm going to guess here and say that it was you know, around game 50 or so. There's an upsurge in everybody pays more attention. There's a greater attention to detail. So I've noticed that, and I don't know whether it's the coaching change or just the natural progression that happens when the coach gets fired, and there's that guilty feeling the players sometimes get, I believe. And so they played, I think, with more structure or at least more attention to detail. I don't know specifically if it's Hiller or not, but I've seen that.
Conversely, do you think that Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch tries to get away from any matchups that Hiller might, i.e. Deneau versus McDavid?
What I've noticed, and I've written about it and I've talked about it, is that I think Knobloch is a coach, unlike some of the previous coaches that have been here under Connor McDavid or during the Connor McDavid era, he's more interested in getting his lines out often enough for them to keep them fresh, but he's more aggressive with the McDavid line, with the Draisaitl line, even with the McLeod line. So I think you'll see them run with five-man units. I think you'll see them outlet using the middle of the ice a little more. Those are all innovations from Knobloch. But I think he's less likely to worry about matchups and more likely to make certain that Connor McDavid gets the exact amount of ice time that he can be efficient in and flourish in. That seems to be the way that Knobloch runs his bench.
Alan Mitchell with us on Sports 1440. Is it a 100% given that Cam Talbot starts in goal? And if he does he have a shorter leash? Because every time David Rittich plays against the Oilers, he seems to play quite well.
That's a great point, and you never know. And there's a little bit of gamesmanship there, I think, possibly on the LA side, because I'm certainly talking about Talbot as being, you know, the guy played over 50 games, I believe, this year with Los Angeles. But you're right about Rittich, who overall has a better save percentage and was 13 and 6 with the Kings. So I think it would be unusual, but I also think that if you're constructing a way to win against the Oilers, then Rittich, who has, as you said, had success in the past and had a really good year in 23-24, that might be an option. I'm not going to say that all four goaltenders will play in this series, but I would not be surprised if all four goalies played in this series.
Alan Mitchell with us. Everyone knows, you know, what Leon Draisaitl's done in the playoffs. Connor's been a great playoff player, and Zach Hyman, and you can go down the list. Is there someone on the Oilers roster, a lesser light, that you might say that this is a guy that's going to have a great playoff, a great series against the Kings, someone that maybe is going to catch your eye that you think will be a handful for LA to handle?
If he gets to play and gets to play a lot and often and gets into games, I think Connor Brown could be a player that people aren't thinking about right now. Among the players who are on the ice and certain to play, big enough or bigger minutes, I think Warren Fogle, even though he's on the second line and maybe it would be, unfair to say, well, he'd be a surprise. Fogle has a lot more skill than sometimes it appears. He can go into stretches and hot and cold streaks, but if he gets hot, Warren Fogle, for me, might be a key player in this series and during the postseason.
You know, Al, we'll have an interview. I did a one-on-one with Warren practice on Saturday, and one of the things he mentioned, and he never, I've done two or three one-on-ones with him this year, and he never ever mentioned it, but, we did address the fact that he scored 20 goals, but he had guys, i.e. McDavid, Draisaitl, and Hyman, tell him in the offseason, you got to shoot more. You can score 20 goals in this league. You got to understand that. He never, ever said that until on Saturday. So it's a big deal. That was a big deal for him to get 20, and all the teammates were extremely, extremely happy for him. Just one quick one. Stu Skinner, ready for this?
Yeah, I think he is. I think people are worried about him, and I would not worry about him. He's one of those goalies. I guess he maybe, we could compare him to Grant Fear in this way. I think he can have a bad outing in this series, and he may well, but I don't think that last year will impact him at all, and I think he can recover quickly. I think Stuart Skinner is a really good NHL goaltender.
Yeah. Alan, thanks for this. Do you know what's cooking on your show here at 12 o'clock on Sports 1440?
You bet. We have Rachel Dory. We're going to talk about the Oilers series, also about that Wild Jets series, and whether or not Toronto can find a goalie in time to make that a series. We'll also talk to Jason Greger about the Oilers and what's going to happen tonight in the big game one. Yeah. And then we'll talk NBA, NFL draft, Major League Baseball. How's your team doing in the Edmonton Rotisserie League, by the way?
In the Edmonton Rotisserie League, I am in fourth spot right now. So not bad. I'm 2 points out of second. So I'm just hanging in there. But I got a lot of injuries coming up, Al. Too many.
Right. You've room to grow is what you have.
Yeah. The American League is a different story. However, you should have come in our fantasy frenzy baseball draft. I'm sure I'm going to get a text from Playbook Vic here because we go points per week and it was a clean sweep, 10-0 over Playbook Vic. That doesn't happen. It's the first sweep in the history of the league.
Wow. So you will never hear from that poor fellow again.
Oh, no, he'll be texting in today, Al. He'll be texting in today. Hey, thanks, big guy. We'll chat soon. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right, my friend. You be good.
Yeah, that's Alan Mitchell, the Lowdown with Low Tide, every day here at Sports 1440, noon till 2. And the Puck Report, brought to you by Fountain Tire. Ask about their seasonal tire storage once you get your summer tires put on. Did you have a little boo at that, Duke? Did you check out?
I hadn't even tabs on it over the weekend there.
Ten
and then
zip.
As soon as Al asked you about fantasy baseball there, I quickly pulled it up to check. And yeah, 10 rip over Playbook Vic. I was just trying to check and see how Fantasy Frenzy's team that I still have no access to fared and got a dead split with the Seattle Pilots.
5-5.
So I believe we still remain at or next to the bottom of the standings. Yeah,
sorry, Playbook Vic.
Oh, no, thanks to Playbook Vic's clean sweep, we've now ascended to 10th in the pool as Fantasy Frenzy. But the Fantasy Frenzy hockey playoff pool,
yeah,
I am once again, just as I was in the regular season pool, in nearly last place. But a lot of my guys going tonight in the first game of Dallas and Edmonton, two teams that I have going very far into the playoffs, and so I loaded up on their players.
Wow. Well, I'm going to have to check the standings.
But also Svechnikov or Aho and Jake Guentzel, two guys I was really leaning on, pointless despite the win.
I'm
on
in
Saturday.
The draft. I put a team in.
On Saturday morning, Donovan in here in what was lined up to be his last formal appearance on the station before we're very proud to say that Donovan being brought aboard, and big congrats to him being part of the team as an actual employee now rather than just an intern. So we can't call him Donovan the intern anymore, unfortunately. But he said on air, he's like, I don't care how badly I do as long as I beat Kevin Karius in this playoff pool.
Well, I'll have to have a look at his team. What's his team name? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Yeah, well, he can't do any worse than he did in the NCAA pool. So
that is true. That is very true.
When we come back, and actually this was a funny text because I called Ryan McLeod Cloudy or Clouder. This was a funny text from Kevlar. I would use Clouder as a shadow in the series.
Not bad.
From Kevlar. Love it. When we come back, a one-on-one with the Oilers forward 20-goal man, Warren Fogle. That's coming up on the Kevin Carey Show on Sports 1440. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to the big program. Just to mention quickly, NBA playoffs last night, Milwaukee over Indy 109-94, Clippers beat Dallas 109-97, Boston in a rout 114-94 against Miami, and OKC just squeaks one out against the Pelicans 94-92. All the winners lead the series 1-0. And a special shout out to longtime listener Bob, who's undergoing cancer treatments right now. Bob, wish you all the very best. And on that note, I was lucky enough to be at the Toast of the Town, emceeing it with the great Bob Stauffer on Saturday night. Had some laughs, some yucks, and Toast of the Town presented by Prism Flow. Cal Nichols, the EIG, who got things all together in 1998. They raised, I think, $460,000 for the Cure Cancer Foundation, Dr. Chu, Barry Stafford, Brian Anstice, pivotal to organize this event with a throng of volunteers and the committee. So kudos to everybody in the Toast of the Town involvement and all the people that doled out a lot of cash for the auctions and things like that. So top-notch performance by all involved. Saturday night at the River Cree Resort. It was fun to be involved in a fun night. Hey, Jason Greger was there even too. So we had a good showing from the Sports 1440 gang. It was a good night. Kudos to everybody involved on Saturday morning into the afternoon down at Oilers practice at the downtown community arena, and did a one-on-one with Oilers forward Warren Fogle, who had a sensational season, scoring 20 goals, a career high. And following practice, Fogle and I had a quick little chat just underneath in the bowels of the DCA.
Warren, just how excited are you to get rolling here on Monday?
Yeah, super excited. You know, this is a goal of ours, you know, to get into the playoffs. And, you know, this is the stuff you dream as a kid, is get a chance to compete for the Stanley Cup.
What's different about this LA Kings team right now than maybe what you saw earlier in the season or even going back to last year in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think they're, you know, a well-structured team. You know, they got a lot of depth. You know, they play the right way, and you know, for us, we know we got to play a patient game, and you know, kind of focus on this year. You know, the last 2 years are in the past, and they have a new team, and you know, it should be a good matchup.
Have you noticed anything about them since they made the coaching change from McClellan to Hiller?
I don't know how many games we've played him with the new coach, but you know, each time we play them, they always play hard. You know, they got a lot of good players, and yeah, they're a good team.
How would you describe, assess the style that they play?
Hardworking team. Obviously, everyone knows about their 1-3-1, and you know, they're one of the better teams that can execute that. So, like I said, we got to play a patient game and play the right way.
That word patience, everyone seems to be using it coming into this series. Can you just describe what it takes to, you know, not get caught up in what they're doing and doing what you're doing?
Yeah, exactly. I think anytime you have success, it's mostly focusing on yourself and doing what you can to execute and play the right way. And yeah, obviously, we don't want to beat ourselves, and by not getting too antsy, I would say. So yeah, the patience would probably be the right word.
How proud were you to reach the 20 goal mark?
Yeah, obviously it was on a personal note, super exciting for me. A lot of hard work, but I couldn't have done it without my teammates and family, coaches. It's pretty surreal, actually, thinking of all the ups and downs that I've had throughout my career, and obviously through here in Edmonton. And you know, it's more just proving to myself what I'm capable of, but I wouldn't be able to do it without those people I mentioned. And you know, that's why it's so much fun playing here, because it's such a brotherhood. And you know, this summer, a few of the big guys said there's no reason why you shouldn't. You know, you got a good shot, and you know, you got to shoot the puck more. And that's something I focused on this year, and you know, happy it paid off.
Yeah, just kind of expand on that with some of the guys that said to you, you got this in you. You just got to go out and do it.
Yeah, I think it's just those sessions in the summer. You know, I had a good summer, and you know, I had Connor, Leon, and Zach telling me like you should be shooting the puck more. And I think I reached career highs in shots on net this year, and so obviously with their support, the coaches too always tell me to shoot. A lot of people are just telling me I should be shooting more, and you know, you always got to have confidence in yourself. But obviously, when you're surrounded by good people to build you up, you know, it makes a difference, and that little bit of a difference can go a long way.
It's funny how that confidence is so big.
Yeah, for sure. You know, when you're confident, you know, good things usually happen, and you're feeling in a rhythm, and you're not really thinking out there, you're just playing. And you know, it's one thing to have it, but it's maintaining it, which is probably the key to success.
Warren, thanks for this. Good luck against the Kings.
Thanks.
That's Oilers forward Warren Fogle. Sensational regular season. 20 goals, 21 assists, 41 points. Found a home many, many nights on the second line. No one ever thought he was a top six forward here going into the season at all. But we'll open the Stanley Cup playoffs on the second line with Leon Draisaitl and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. He, as you know, we alluded to, and even Alan Mitchell said, he's got a lot more talent than people give him. He is able to, You know what? What's when you like watching Warren Fogle? Some of the things when he gets stick handling, you'd swear that he's gonna, you know, turn that puck into a square. He's going back and forth so hard, and you can hear it in the building. The amount of, you know, stick taps he's going back and forth. It's a neat angle with Warren Fogle, but he offers a complimentary angle to that second line that, you know, helps out Leon Draisaitl, helps out Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and the two of them work so well together. And Fogle, if he can contribute at that same pace, at that same level in the playoffs as he did in the regular season, the Oilers should have some success in the playoffs. Got some text, 1-833-401-1440. Get him in, and we got lots to talk about, obviously, this morning. L. Nate, E.I. Nate, our buddy, he says, it feels to me like a couple of years ago when Mac, and I'm believing he said Mac T, said, I've been in the league 9 years. I was saying
Nathan
Mac?
McKinnon.
Nathan McKinnon, okay. I was going back even further than that. Feels to me like a couple of years ago when Nathan McKinnon said, been in the league 9 years, haven't won squat. They were on a mission that year, a couple of years ago, I think, when they won the Stanley Cup is what he's talking about. I think you'll see the same from the boys this year. Let's go. L. Nate, E.I. Nate, and I have a running shtick about the 1-3-1 with the Kings and what we're going to see tonight moving forward. He said, be sure to text me tonight when you see all the 1-3-1 action for the Kings. Top of the hour, we'll have Mark Spector. He just joined us in the studio, just coming in. He's got his laptop out. Had a big dinner last night, man. The first question is going to be, who paid the bill? That's what I want to know. I bet it was... Yeah, you know, I got an idea who it was, but we'll get to that at 8 o'clock. Scott Burnside, who was at the dinner, Burnside on hockey, will be with us at 8:20. At 9 o'clock, we've got Ben Scrimmins, the former goaltender for the Oilers and NHLer, and then Daryl Evans, LA Kings analyst, and the goal scorer on the Miracle on Manchester in 1982 when the Kings came back from a 5-0 third period deficit to beat the Oilers in Game 3 of that best of 5 series, went on to win that series back in 1982. 10 o'clock, Lorianne Munzer will guest with us, and then Lane Brown. You might have seen him driving around town. Downtown Lane Brown in that big rig, the Oilers truck. It's got the speakers on the back. They're playing La Bamba. That's going to be an interesting conversation coming up at 10:40. Before all that, time now for a Sports 1440 update brought to you by your Alberta GMC dealers. Get up to $6,500 cash purchase credit on a 2024 Sierra 1500 Denali Ultimate. It's all during truck month. See more at gmcoffers.ca. Here is the Duke.